You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to the another episode of the Traincast. Before we get started, just wanted to do a few announcements. I guess before I start with that, let me just say the Traincast is a podcast where I talk with creative people and their lifestyles, what they do and how they do it. So before we get started with my guests, I just wanted to talk about my website and my affiliates with them. I have an Amazon account on there. Ian, do you ever use Amazon?
I use Amazon a little bit.
I was going to say, who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have this cool thing that you can get on my website on trainerpodcast.com. That's T-R-A-I-N-O-R podcast.com. And it's really interesting. It's you can go through my link. I'm sure, I don't know if you've heard of this, but anything you buy through that link, Amazon will kind of kick back a little percent, and this is all Amazon and not the actual buyer. So anyone that does it, you know, it'll kind of help obviously support whatever kind of endeavor you're trying to do. So I would say if you're looking into something like that, it's pretty cool. So yeah, please check that out. And I want to just give a shout out to Podcast Detroit. Podcast Detroit is where all these are recorded, and they got a lot of good stuff out there. Anything and everything I believe you could think of, you know, you can find here, from sports to leading questions is a good one. They talk about a lot of cool stuff, Marvel movie nerdy stuff, and yeah, just a really cool app and website to check out. So, and going into that, I actually have one of the creators of a podcast on as my guest today. Ian, how is it going?
Going good. Staying busy.
Yeah. So Ian is the host of the Retro Nerd Detroit Fighters, correct?
Retro Detroit Nerd
yes,
Fighters.
Yes, that's it. I was like, we had this talk at one of the meetups because you're saying it's one of the longest, it is the longest name out of the Podcast Detroit Network, right?
I'd say it's not the biggest name here. It's not as big as Leading Questions with Calvin Moore.
Oh, I guess I didn't think that. But,
but it's in the top 10.
You got to drop your name in that. I think that would kind of make it a little bit, you know, just so people know who you are and stuff.
Oh, but I'd have to change my name to Hobbs.
To Hobbs?
Yes. His name's Calvin. His name would be Hobbs.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Calvin and Hobbs. God, what's that? What, I'm drawing a blank on the reference there. So
it's a I forget who the illustrator and author is, but it's a comic strip.
Okay.
Between a boy and his
The tiger
friend with
the tiger. Yes. Yes. You seen the shirt with it's like a Street Fighter kind of knockoff. It shows like Kelvin's the boy, right?
Yes.
And he's like dressed up as Ryu, and like Hobbs is like Sagat, I think. He's like a giant lion, obviously, kind of deal. It's pretty funny, but I knew that sounded familiar. So, this is why I wanted you on the show, because I think podcasting is what podcasting and podcasters are one of those things that a lot of people might be like, is that like an artistic kind of thing? And I believe it is, because you can take anything you like and, you know, put it on the air and talk about it for hours if you want. So, having you on and you talk about what you talk about with, you know, your nerdy stuff and some of the other stuff I think a lot of people don't know about your show. I just wanted to kind of get into. So just wanted to kind of, I guess, jump right into it. I didn't mean to make it so big, but why are you called Ian the Well-Informed? Wanted to kind of bring you out with that one.
Oh, that's a
that
really
might be
good,
a little easy one.
That's a really good question. I have a master's in information systems and a second master's in cybersecurity.
Okay.
So I kind of, both master's degrees have the information part of that part in that major. And so instead of saying information systems or anything like that. I just called myself E-informed and also Ian the well-informed because of those degrees.
Okay. Yeah, when you gave me your business card, at, I think it was the first meetup, I was going to say, I was like, damn, this guy's credentials are crazy. You know, I thought we were just podcasters here, but it's like, yeah, you had the cybersecurity, the like IT and all that, and like the public speaking. Do you like do that like regularly, or is that just something you are? Yeah, I guess podcasting is public speaking, right?
Yeah, podcasting is more or less public speaking and also having a conversation like this.
Very true. I know it's. I like the, you know, I like the word interview. You know, I do like interviewing people, and I don't feel like it really takes a lot out of that word, but it does seem kind of formal, and it's not like I do like to kind of think of it. It should be just like a conversation, though. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm always torn between, because I like interviewing people because I feel like that's how you get to know them and how you get to know, you know, their process and what they do. But I don't want it to be just so cut and dry, like, you know, this. Like, I'd rather be more of like a back and forth, just like, hey, how you doing? You know, what do you like talking about kind of deal? How do you feel about that?
I feel the same way. You're saying more along the lines of you want it to be less of, oh, I made this checkbox,
yeah,
and more of we have a conversation, we get to know each other and try and live in the experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah. It's do you listen to any other podcasts?
I not right now, but I have listened in the past. I've been on podcasts like Reasons Why I'm Single, let's see, The Undercurrent with Brett Snyder. Yeah. And that's a little bit of a story right there. I, in high school, used to be a wrestler, and so so I had that little connection with Brad from the undercard, and so we kind of fit well.
I'm listening to that one. There's so many of them, and it's like I'm trying to listen to as many as I can, at least, you know, just to know, you know, obviously Podcast Detroit and all that stuff, but I try to stay in what I like and know and all that. But yeah, tell me the story about that if you don't mind.
All right, so how I got to meet Brad,
And he's the host of the undercard?
Yeah, he's the host of the undercard. When I was, I had two friends who, I'll plug them, Darren Gibbs and LeBron Oldham. We went to high school together to wrestle, but then they went into amateur MMA.
Oh, interesting. That's cool.
And so I
they just stepped up the violence.
they stepped up the violence. Yeah, that's a good way of saying things. But no, I was trying to get them onto his show because Dave had Brad on the show because I listened to them on IT and the D.
Okay.
And I introduced them to them, and it kind of fell flat. But then I said, hey, I'm starting a podcast. I have some experience within folk style wrestling. Could you bring me in? I also know a little bit of pop culture as well.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Is that, I guess that would be a good segue into your podcast. Is that why you wanted to start? Did you just want to talk about people, or like, talk about the topics that you usually talk about on your show? Like, what was the whole purpose of starting the podcast?
Before I started this podcast, I've wanted to start this since 2015. When they first announced that they were going to, when Podcast Detroit was going to be its own thing, I was like one of the first people to want to be a podcaster. And one of my it started off as I wanted to do gaming news.
Okay.
And
like video gaming?
I wanted to do video game news, YouTube news, and game development news, because in this age, there aren't many podcasts that talk about game development, how to be a game developer, what, hey, how much stress there is, how much stress is for the game publishers, the media, the the people who are buying the games or who are interested, being able to have a medium and also trying to have your game get some attention.
That's a good point because, yeah, it's easy to be like, I'm waiting for this next game to come out. I like these kind of games. And you don't think about the process besides maybe just who develops them. If it's like a Kojima or it's like an EA game or a Rockstar, like everyone knows those things, but that's not even one part of it. Those are many people under and a part of those companies and those other creators and stuff. And I never knew that you were like interested in something like that. Have you ever like tried to develop anything like a game or like an app or something like that?
I try to have many hats. Mm-hmm. One of my passion projects outside of working is to try and build a, I won't say too much about it, try and build a music-based game based around, like, kind of a brawler, but then I want to incorporate music as the main medium instead of just having, like, if you've ever seen the retro games of, like, Dragon Warrior or Dragon Quest. Not having a screen that shows a list of options, but more of you're playing the music and then you're
Instruments, you mean?
You're playing instruments.
All right.
And that's kind of the instrument to your success. Having the music to be the driving force to playing a successful game.
Do you ever play Guitar-O-Man?
Guitar-O-Man?
Yeah.
It was
an old PS2 game.
I never heard of it.
What you're saying is definitely different, but it was kind of, along the lines of there's those like rhythm and dance kind of games, you know, like DDR and like all those, you know, dance and do this. And this wasn't really an RPG, but it was kind of like a Parappa the Rapper. You remember that one?
Yeah.
Same style, but it was like, you know, this guy running through and you had to follow these cues to defeat each of these bosses and stuff. And I always thought that was really interesting. So I hope you keep continuing to do that, you know, keep pecking away at it. Right. So, it's not just games you like talking about on your podcast. You also like talking about a lot of other stuff. Cause you talk about like anime, you know, movies. Well, I guess that's pop culture. Right. So, what do you normally like to focus on, I guess, like throughout your episodes?
What I'm good at and what I'm focused at, what I'm mainly focused at is trying to bring awareness to people with disability advocacy.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
That's what I want to focus on because there isn't a big it's a big medium, but it's not brought much attention. People, I have friends who have disabilities who have been discriminated against, and I want to make people aware of that situation so that people will do something about it.
All right, and this was a thing I wanted to discuss as well, because there's when I first started to listen to your podcast, you know, I obviously was intrigued by the name because of all the stuff that it implied. And you did talk about those things. And then as I listened to a few, you know, I didn't obviously listen to every single one, but out of the ones I've listened to, you would always bring up your like involvement in the community and stuff like that. And like you were saying, these, you know, like special needs and stuff like that. And I thought that was really cool because, you know, it is fun talking about video games and pop culture and all that stuff. But you have this underlying thing of obviously helping others. And, you know, the demographic of people that do like a lot of this stuff are, you know, people that probably might have those, you know, like, I wish I could be in a better situation than I'm not. And I think that's very brave of you to, you know, kind of be that voice of that. So, how do you tend to, I guess be the voice of that, like talk about that more? Like, what do you have any plans to, you know, I guess spread that out?
Just like within the podcast, I tell myself just to be better. Fact, it's in my way of thinking. It's in my way of my sense of humor, everything that is. And I have this underlining tone for wanting to do service, wanting to help people within the disabled community, because what it comes down to, the biggest problem is having a network. And people with disability, people with a disability especially, have a hard time communicating with people. So that's my main mission out of all that, just to be able to get people to be able to speak up and communicate. It's kind of a cyclical thing.
It all comes, it's that pay it forward kind of deal. You know what I mean? It's like you put good out there and good should come back. And I know that can get a little woo-woo and all that, but with how much communication we do have now, you just saying that, it'd be like, well, you know, like everyone can, you know, have a Facebook, everyone can have all these social media things, but it can be so, the waters can be so muddy with it. And this is why I feel, you know, like podcasting is so important, because people that do have something interesting to say can, you know, and again, having Podcast Detroit as like kind of an anchor of that, you can make a show and discuss those things. And I feel that's very important. And I just think that's awesome you're doing that. So, I mean, we don't need to get too heavy with it. I feel like we're kind of getting, but I just wanted to, you know, respect you on that. And you should, you know, have more of like your friends be guests and stuff, you know, kind of tell them their stories and stuff. Not, I don't want to tell you how to run your show or anything, but, you know, I just, you know, I think that'd be a cool thing, you know, just to hear from the other side, you know, so. That made sense.
That makes sense. And to your point, I'm not sure you realize this, but every guest I've had so far has been a friend of mine.
You seem like a very friendly person with all. Yeah, I guess I just didn't know how the relationships were, you know. So,
like, my first episode, I had Karen.
I remember that. Sounds familiar. So.
She does a podcast. I used to do a podcast called The Corner with K-Hub, and I kind of knew her through Dave.
Oh, nice.
She came to find out that she, does urban gardening, and I do as well.
I listened to that one about, it was like the, she talked about the one down, I'm pretty sure it was the episode where it was like downtown Detroit. They had that, like greenhouse kind of thing where you could go. And like any time of day or something like that, like help plant stuff and like do things like that. Was that the same Karen we're talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. So well, that's great. You know, my mom's a big gardener. I almost, as a little kid, you know, I appreciated the outdoors when I was younger. And, you know, I was always just, it was kind of like, you know, you're always going against your parents and stuff like that. But as I got older and realized how much that means, it's so important, and it can just help with a lot of things like depression, you know, being outside and getting the sunlight and all that. Like, it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So you do that as well?
Yeah, I did that as well. I, like last week, maybe a couple weeks ago, one of the places I'm a board member for a garden. So.
Oh, all right.
And they're, even though it's outside, they're kind of closing their doors.
Oh, really?
Because someone else bought them up, bought the space up, so they no longer own it.
Man, yeah. It's like the man trying to stomp all over these, you know, local businesses. It's like, what the heck? I always hate when I hear that.
Yeah, you're either being a vegetable or you're being a vegetable.
That's a good way to... I hate to say it in that context, but it kind of makes sense for what we're talking about. But yeah, that is such a bummer. And, you know, people just don't get how much a little thing like that can help with the community, you know? And, it's important for other people to hear that, you know, those things. Because even though that's like some bad news, I hope that when people listen to this podcast and, you know, yours as well, it's just like they'll be more aware of that to, you know, maybe stop that kind of thing, you know, if it's a petition or just like kind of speaking out their voice in some Facebook thing or something, you know. And I think more people need to do those things because once they're gone, get gobbled up by those, you know, like money, obviously driven kind of things, you know, they'll be gone. So it's kind of a drag to see that.
Yeah, I know. It's a little unfortunate.
We need to get a little more positive here. But yes. I appreciate the news and how do you find the time to do all this stuff?
I get that a lot.
Yeah. I was going to say, you like, after listening to your podcast, a lot of times you always seem like you have a new project or new thing while you're doing something, you know, you're doing a podcast. And so tell me about that.
New projects that are coming up this way.
Well, just do you normally seek out your projects or are you just kind of, do you like focusing on a lot of things? Because sometimes that can bother people, you know, having too much on their plate.
I like... a lot of things on my plate. I try to be creative and I want to just keep going and just build on what I have because like building my community and talking to people, that's kind of what I want to do. Like about a month and a half from now, I'm going to be doing a few panels, public speaking.
Oh, no way. Just about public speaking or?
No, I have a panel about homelessness, a second one about dating and relationships, and a third about video gaming.
Oh, wow. You cover all the bases there. So you should just set up a recording there and have that as a podcast. So I that was kind of like a thing I got off you too with, I remember it so clearly because it was at, you know, the Falling Down Plate brewery that, you know, the IT guys, you know, own and stuff. Well, partially or whatever it is. But anyways, one of the first podcast meetups I went to, I'm sitting down and I only knew one person there just through a friend. And I think those are they're so cool. I thought they're so much fun. I love going to those. And it's interesting since if you're a fan of podcasting, like you just know people's voices. And I think the one thing cool about podcasts is like you get involved with the show, you know, like the people that are talking, you get to know them, you know, you get to know about their life and what they're doing or what they're talking about. And so I'm like sitting there and I'm like, I should just close my eyes. And I feel like I could understand this better because I'm hearing voices that I've heard before, but I don't know any faces. And I remember you coming up like behind me and you were talking to, it was Devin, and you were talking to him. And I was like, Retro Nerd Detroit Fighters. I was like, I know exactly who you are. Like, well, you know, I'd never met you in that case, but then you introduced me to other people and I was like, you know, everybody here. So you're a very social person, obviously in that aspect, right?
I try.
Yeah. Well, I think you do a good job. Cause even at the next one we had a meetup at, you still did the same thing. And I'm just like, how does Ian know everyone? He's just a good guy. So.
Yeah. And I, in terms of the podcaster meetups, I've been to every one of them between, the IT and the D guys, or the Falling Down guys, or the Podcast Detroit guys—they're the same two people. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Podcasts, you know, IT—it's like it's all the same umbrella, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking about making them a T-shirt called 2 Chainz, but
just have Bob and Dave on Two Chains, you know? That'd be a good one, yeah. So I always like to ask people this because depending on, like, what they do with, like, podcasts and stuff, if you could have anybody on your podcast, who would you want?
I would.
And why? Let me just throw that one.
Like, on a, like, could I ask for a little more, like, context, like, within, like, a genre, or?
Well, it would be, obviously, whatever you want to talk about. I mean, it could be, I don't know, voice actor, video game creator, actor, musician, I don't know, even someone, I guess, politically, since you like helping out the community and stuff like that. I guess whatever you'd want to talk about on your show, would you have someone in mind that you're like, that'd be so cool to just sit across the mic from and talk to?
I mean, if it were
even famous, if it's just personal, you know,
if it would have to be like a star or anyone, I would, hands down, I would pick Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. Why?
Because
he's a badass.
He's a badass.
He is badass.
But no, he has this flair to just, he scares me to no end. Mm-hmm. And I want a bit of his style just to understand how he came to be within those roles like The Shining, mm-hmm. And other
one
movies.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
One Flies Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And he is one of those actors, too. It's like you see him when he was young and doing those like movies that we're talking about, too, you know, like Anger Management and all that, and it's... I think he aged well in the sense he always looked kind of like an old beat up guy, but it's like he is such a different actor, and I've always liked everything he's been in. And even when he did like some mediocre stuff, he always did such a good job. And what would be like some, you would just want to talk about like it, like how he started and stuff like that?
I would talk to him about how he started and why such a dark persona? Why such
the original Joker?
The original Joker. Mm-hmm. I know this is more what's his face? The other Joker, the
Heath Ledger.
Yeah, no, not Heath Ledger. The animated series.
Oh, Luke Skywalker. I forgot his actual name.
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill, that's it. Yeah.
I'd want to hear him say, why so serious?
Oh, yeah. That would be cool. Get a soundbite of that. You know, yes. That's pretty funny. Any other guests, like, I guess in other parts, since you have obviously a big name in your podcast, so you could cover movies, I don't know, any other ones?
Within podcasting, I'd try to get like someone from like NPR or Comedy Bang Bang,
yeah,
or
Scott Aukerman. Oh my god, that'd blow me away if I talked to that guy. He is just like a smith with words, and it's just like he's so funny. I'd just probably not have anything to say and just let him talk, you know. Do you like listen to like Paul F. Tompkins? He's pretty funny.
Yeah, I listen to him. I listen to podcasts every once in a while. Like I said, I have a lot of hats, and I like to dedicate my time toward this podcast and work and other things.
What do you feel like distracts you? Like, what gets in the way of some of your creative endeavors?
I got a good story. I had a, I was working with one of my friends who used to be a boss of mine back at, university.
Oh,
and
okay.
He made this board game called Home Sweet Homelessness. and because I, in the past had worked with, the homeless.
Okay. Yeah.
I had a job that focused on, database management. I kind of knew that, I kind of knew that space from back in the day.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll help you build with this game. And so maybe like the end of 2016, I was going to take that game and possibly make it into like an app. But then I got...
So you could like play it on your phone.
So I could have people play it on their phone.
Should be awesome.
And I got hired into the place I'm at now.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm going to have to put this on the side burner and get some people who know how to build games and also know like the state of homelessness in the area.
Mm-hmm. So this would be like a game... like based on kind of real life problems, you know, and not just like, cause you know, like Monopoly and stuff like that, where it's like, haha, like you lose your business and all this, but it's like, that can actually happen. You know, people can monopolize on things. And, so you'd almost want to like educate and entertain in the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Educate and inform, kind of like be matter of fact when it comes to building this game.
Because you brought up the homeless, like, you know, a few times already. Is there, like, some connection with that? Like, if I'm getting too personal, just let me know. But is there, I mean, I know it's a big problem. You know, like, every big city has it. And, like, it spreads, you know. And it's always so sad to see when you're, you know, coming off, like, exits and you go downtown and you just wonder how these people got to where they are. You know, what's your basis of, you know, helping out, you know, homeless?
Right.
A lot of people kind of make a joke of it, you know, and it's kind of sad when you see someone that's like, oh, they did it to themselves. And it's like, really? Do you know that? You don't know that, you know?
That's, that quote is kind of a double-edged sword.
It's
very much.
It's very true and very wrong, right?
They did it to themselves is the whole reason why this is happening to them. And just like people with disabilities, it all comes down to a person's network.
Like so, who's around them? Like
who's around them if they have a network. And for people who are homeless, yes, they have lost their network. They've lost their job. Yeah, they don't deserve it. That's just a matter of they lost their network. And I
kind of like their way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always get confused with this, and I've said it. You know, I've said it probably, but not have like really like meant it. But, you know, it's like people are always like, if they're homeless, you know, they're over here. It's, you know, why don't they just get a job at McDonald's or like some of those places? I always wonder about that because it's like, it doesn't seem that easy. And have you ever like talked to like, you know, someone in that situation about that? It's like, why don't you just get like a job or like, even if it's obviously nothing glamorous, but it could obviously pull you out of where you're at. Have you ever thought about that or like talked to somebody about that?
Before I said this, my podcast needed to be a thing. I back in 2012, I lost my job working and it took me, I lost my job in May of 2012 and could not find another job till the middle of November of 2017. No, 2013. Sorry. Wow. No,
I'm about to say congratulations on the new job because that would be pretty recent if it was 2017.
I couldn't find a job for a year and a half.
That's a long time.
And I had applied to literally 450 places within the state of Michigan.
And you're well qualified, obviously, like we talked about.
I had two master's degrees, yeah. And I had been in database management for, let's see, at that time, 11 years.
Jeez. So it's like you knew your stuff. It's not like you were right out of school. Like you were experienced. And yeah, keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
It's okay. I took like it took me a year and a half to find a job, and that job just happened to be Kohl's. So I was there.
Did I hit your pride a little bit, or
I was like, I weighed my options. I was like, I don't have anything. I've lost my unemployment insurance. Yeah, my unemployment money is dried out, and I have. I'm going to be drastically losing money if I don't find a job.
Yeah.
And so I knew that if I took something like Kohl's, that I would keep that job, and that I would do my best to build on my communication and build on my confidence and just those things, like
get back in like the swing of thing, you know,
get back into networking, get back into getting good to that end.
Yeah. So that like helped you a lot, you know, even if it probably seemed very like, you know, like not the, it obviously was a good option at the time, but you, like, you probably were like, oh, why am I doing this? Right. But it did obviously pull you out, right?
Yeah.
And
then
you seem like you're doing awesome now.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot better. Yeah.
Because with your personality and your positivity, I was like, there's got to be more to this than that. So, like, just saying that you rised above, you know, worse situations and not let them, like, oh, like, you know, take you down like most people, you know?
And it came, it came down to my network. It came down to the people that I knew and were able to help.
Yeah, that's a big thing, you know. So that's, I guess, going back with what you're saying with like the homeless people. It's like, since they don't have a network like that, no one to be like, everything's going to be okay, or like, I'll help you out with this, or I'll cook you some dinner, or like, you know, do this stuff. Like, yeah, that's a scary feeling, and I think a lot of people don't, you know, they understand the definition of homeless, I think, because they'll be like, oh, you know, you live on the street. But a lot of people that have good jobs or even like decent jobs, you know, still complain about where they're at. And it's like, you shouldn't be doing that. I always feel like I always feel like people should stop talking when they say stuff like that. Do you agree?
It's a lot like a Stevie Wonder song. If you believe in things you don't understand and you suffer superstition in the way.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sure you've talked to like people where they'll like complain and complain all through the week and whatever. And then, you know, they'll go and have a nice dinner on the weekend and then complain about their money and financial situation. You're like, what? It's like, you're not homeless, man. Like, you got to appreciate that. And like I said, it's like, rise above that and be, you know, just better person, just be nice, you know? And, I think that's what's, you know, cool about you. And I feel like you kind of portray that, you know, very well.
Thank you.
You're welcome, man. You're very well informed in that aspect.
I hope so.
Well, I didn't think we were going to get in all these deep topics like this. I thought we were going to talk about Power Rangers and anime, but
we could get into that. That's fine.
No, it's cool. I like this. I like, it's like I was talking about with podcasting. It's, you know, I was a fan of yours, and, you know, having you on here and talking to you like this is pretty cool. And, you know, I want to do more of these kind of things. And I feel like you kind of, as like a podcast mentor in that, like you said, you have your friends and other people, cause you know, you had like the 8-Bit Waffle people on there. It's like, and a lot of the other Podcast Detroit people, like, I didn't know it went that deep, and you know, that's really cool. So, yeah. Do you have, so the thing that's funny with all this stuff, cause you had the podcast, you know, you love talking about nerdy culture and all that stuff. And the one thing that's just kind of is bugging's the wrong word, but so you do like cybersecurity and all this stuff, like, so that's just something in your back pocket? Because that's like a pretty big deal, you know, like fraud, like I guess like identity theft, like are those, that's in the same thing, right?
Yes and no. Cybersecurity is a little bit more, what you're talking about a little bit, like fraud, is a little bit more of business administration, yeah, or business fraud. Turnaround management.
It's a bad F word, right?
No, it's still a good F word, but
I see. Yes. Yeah. Well, explain like cybersecurity to a dummy like me.
It's basically, you know how you hear about the CISO of Facebook step down?
I did not. I'm just kind of out of that, I guess.
Okay, so
there's Mark Zuckerberg, or
that it's not Mark Zuckerberg because he's the CEO and president,
all right.
But his CISO, the Chief Information Security Officer, stepped down this week because of information about like too much information had gone out to the mainstream media, and that was supposed to be blocked. So, like, what a security officer has to do in order to keep their, they have to go to great lengths, and also some businesses make like non-disclosure agreements, so that, or NDAs, to make sure that information stays within the company. But then there's the downside of if that person leaves the company, then they that doesn't help them within pursuing another job.
Okay.
Because you can only say so much about the company.
So it's like you can't carry the company's secret to like someone else, or like what you knew or what you did and all that. Is that right? Or
yeah.
Okay.
So there's a lot of security is basically damage control. How much, what you're willing to spend on the biggest subjects, like things. There's this one standard called FIPS 200, F-I-P-S 200, where it's like 9 blocks, kind of like, what's that one game where you put X's and O's, tic-tac-toe? That's right.
All right.
It's a lot like that.
All right.
But like at the top left corner, there is the threats of there's the risks that are huge, mm-hmm. that pose the biggest threat and will happen a lot. You try to avoid those at all costs. And in this case, Facebook didn't do that at all.
Yeah. So like a lot of like information was getting out, or a lot of
information was going out that was deemed like political, that shouldn't have went out into mainstream media. And Facebook asked them to delete that information. And of course, if you had, if someone had massive amount of data, would they delete their stuff? No, it's not. No, that's not how that works.
Exactly. You have to like filter through all that stuff and like, right? Or like try to find it, or
if you're trying to negatively damage like a company or society or something like that, you've got to you have to do more than just inform the other company that to please delete that information.
Yeah.
You have to like block them. You have to, that was basically a slap on the wrist of what Facebook should have done.
Okay. Wow. Does that, so that to you, since you obviously aren't in like obviously the Facebook company, it's like, that seems like a cybersecurity nightmare, right?
That is a, at the worst, it's a PR nightmare, but yeah. It is a cybersecurity nightmare.
Yeah. Cause like if they were like, you know, Ian, you have to fix this, you'd be like, oh God, like there goes my podcast. There goes this. Cause you had to be there night and day trying to fix that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think so at a company of that scale.
And the fact that their one of their chiefs tried to put it under the rug and be like, it's not our fault if the other company decides to violate it.
Yeah. Jeez. See, that all that stuff always scares me, because that's like people get so comfortable with being on the internet and whatnot and posting stuff and like sending out things, you know, you just never know how that can be twisted. And I guess I would think for you, you might be looking at it different since you know all this stuff, right?
Yeah. at least I try to get as much information as I can about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, that's just, you know, it's just funny, like thinking about all that stuff. So, do you have something to say? I thought I didn't want to cut you off.
like social media is meant to be used as an extension of oneself,
yeah.
Not their entire existence.
Yeah.
And that's what Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Tumblr, and all of these platforms are essentially doing. And I don't fault these companies, because at the end of the day, it is a business.
Yeah.
But people are starting to realize, especially with Facebook, that it needs to be just an extension.
But can't people just say, even if it's harmful, like, shouldn't people be able to say what they want?
Yes. There is the Second Amendment. Yes. Yeah. People can say whatever they want. But then, like, Dave and Bob have a podcast called The Worst Meatball Sandwich Ever.
Yeah. I never listened to that one. It sounds so good. That's a bad pun, right? It sounds so good.
And I do a little bit of voice acting, and I like to be like, speak like Mario and be like, this is the worst. The worst meatball sandwich ever.
Wow. But now I have to watch this or listen, I guess.
No, what they do is people can post on, they take critiques on Yelp of certain restaurants, and then they make a comment about that comment.
Oh, all right. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And critique the critiquer.
Yeah. Critique the. It's. I think I heard this the other day, but it was like someone talking about like commenting on a comment. You know, it's like kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah. It's like being a YouTube moderator.
Ah, yeah. That'd be interesting. So, how do you find all these things connect? Like, because you have your. Like I mentioned with your business card, you know, you have your cybersecurity, you know, your speaking, you know, the database stuff, and then, you know, what we talked about now with your community service kind of things and, you know, your podcast. Is that what you're trying to do, just trying to, like, connect these dots here?
A lot of the thing, I'll give you a little bit of a point A to point Z.
Yeah.
synopsis. Like, cybersecurity is more of people's method to their madness,
yeah,
type of thing. And it's all about damage control. Information systems is more of understanding the human factor, mm-hmm, within the programming. and being able to do a building like a business and understanding building a business on how people think. And then there's the people themselves, which is a lot of what I do for the podcast, like the disability awareness.
Yeah.
So that then there's like conventions and other things where I get to meet like people who are willing to speak and tell them about their experiences.
Have you? I know you had an episode where you talked about like your convention, you know, I guess experiences and all that. Have you met like anybody that do other, like I know IT and the D and like Podcast Detroit are there and stuff like that, but have you ever run into any other podcasters and stuff like that?
All right. Like I did a dating panel a couple years ago.
With a lot of panels, haven't you?
I've done quite a few. I did a dating panel with a guy named Jimmy McKnight from formerly
like a,
known
sounds
as
like a porn star.
Don't tell him that, please.
No offense, it's Jimmy McKnight. Come on.
Yeah. His podcast was called The Ninja Starship. Ninja Star. Starship with Jimmy McKnight, but now he has another podcast called Arc Junkies, which he talks about welding.
Here, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I did a dating and relationships panel with him as my second host.
Nice.
But before he came on, he the week before the panel, I was I had one person that I was going to do a panel with beside me, and the second person said, "I'm not going to this." So I was like, "Oh, I am all alone."
So they got like scared and just ditched out on you?
They ditched out on me.
Jeez, yes. That's not cool.
Yes. And so I need so I needed to find a host. And so then I saw Jimmy at that convention, and that was PenguinCon. And he said, "I'll be able to do it 4 hours before the panel."
That's a true friend there, right?
That's a true
friend. Or just a true good person, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, because I could want to talk all about this now because – So have you done a lot of panels in the past? Like what's your panel? Is that a thing? What's your panel experience?
My panel experience, I haven't, in the grand scheme of things, I haven't done a whole lot of panels.
Okay.
But within the last few years, I do a few here and there. And my main places to do panels are PenguinCon and YomaCon.
Really? I'm so jealous right now. I've looked at that application thing to do a panel thing. Is it that like you can just sign up and like if you have a subject you can just talk about whatever?
For YomaCon.
YomaCon, sorry.
That is not easy at all to get a panel.
That's what I would say.
I'll be honest. I submitted a panel. I got another really good story.
Yeah.
I submitted a panel for their 3 months before
the event.
YomaCon, the event. And about a month later, they said your panel submission had been taken off, that you're no longer submitted. And then 3 weeks before the convention, I get an email back saying, "We have a spot for you. We want to put you in." And I'm like,
it's like, you go from 3 months prep time where it's like, yeah, I could do whatever. Then it's like 3 weeks prep time. What? You know, that's a short time to get something ready when you just obviously didn't know you could do it, right?
Yes. I had set up all the topics that I wanted to do. And
what were you going to talk about?
I was going to talk about YouTube moderation. And
oh, nice.
It was, the panel was called The Idiot's Guide to YouTube Commenting.
There you go.
and 3 weeks before the convention, I was like, I get this note saying my panel has been approved.
Did you do it?
Yeah, I ended up doing it. I called up the friend that I was going to host it with, mm-hmm. and he said, I'm still all good coming to YomaCon. And then he brought one of his cousins in and another person from Canada. And we had a four-man podcast. Expected to only have two people there.
Yeah, it's like maybe, you know. That's crazy. So it turned out really well?
It turned out pretty well. I wish we had had more people, but it turned out really well.
That place is so big, and it's just like so many people come. And I remember the first – I plan to go more through the whole like convention, like since it's so long, and I usually go like once, like, you know, like on a Saturday and like kind of just go through like the, like kind of see the stuff to buy, but it's more or less the people I go with. I love them to death, but it's just like, they only want to go and like buy stuff. And I'm like, I want to go like see stuff and like talk to people and panels and all that. So that's so cool knowing, you know, people like you that can, you know, that do that. Cause I remember sitting in on Fates Day Night. Like, do you know any of that anime kind of stuff?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. they did a panel about that and I was just going crazy. Not like crazy, but just like, it was just so much fun. You know, just a bunch of people talking about the same stuff you want to talk about. And we were just having fun. Like they had this PowerPoint doing all these cool things. And I was just like learning, talking to people, and I think that's what a con's about, is just like the interaction. Because yeah, you can go find some rare things and you know, get some deals and, you know, see some stuff, but I think that's kind of like the 2% of it, you know. I think it's a lot more than that, for even if you're going to like Motor City or, you know, YomaCon, or I kind of know what Penguin Con is, but isn't that more of like a IT kind of thing, or like a what's the Penguin Con thing like? I forgot.
Oh, it's kind of its own thing.
Yeah.
It's very much more of a well-knit, tight-knit convention. Like,
so it's about like adopting penguins, right?
No. Yeah, that's kind of a bazinga. But yeah, the penguin stands for Linux operating system.
Oh wow, that's my nerd credit going down because I didn't know that.
That's all good. It's like, you still use Microsoft.
Yeah, I do.
You still use Apple, and those are two good things.
Thanks.
That exist in this world. No, I shouldn't be complaining. I use some Microsoft.
Yeah, you got to, right?
It's like my right arm.
There you go. I was going to say, I'm like, I might not know as much as you, but I know you probably use some of that. So,
and it's like I said, like Linux. It's computer engineering and knitting.
Wait, computer engineering to knitting?
Knitting, yes, just
like without a computer.
Without a computer, yes.
Oh, wow.
They're a nonprofit promoter. They've helped places like Enable, that make prosthetic limbs for children.
Oh, nice.
So
you do gotta knit it, I guess, if you have one of those, right?
Yes. They use like Enable uses 3D printing. And
that's
so
cool.
It's less knitting and more 3D printers.
Do you hear they're making 3D printing houses?
Yes.
What the hell? I didn't see any of it, but I just like, I didn't even want to go down that rabbit hole, but the future looks pretty cool. Yeah. Well, Ian, I want to say thank you for being on the show. And, you know, as we wrap this up, I just want to let everyone know, like, where can everyone find you?
I can be found in the bowels of YouTube on the Retro Detroit Nerd Fighters podcast.
Yeah, please listen, everyone. Please listen.
Yes. And also on Twitter at hashtag Ianformed, informed with an A.
Okay. All right. Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot. This has been a great conversation. I'm glad we talked a lot about things that I do not know why I wrote any of this stuff down.
So, we'll have to talk about that another time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, but this has been awesome, and I appreciate it. You're always welcome back, and I wish the best of luck to you, man. All right?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.